I am an old man, and maybe that's the reason, but I like the old song.
Yeah.
I really do. I love those old hymns. A lot of the new stuff, I don't even understand. So I have a little problem with it that way. But I do love those old hymns. Turn to 1 Corinthians 13. I'm going to read the entire chapter just because it's such a beautiful chapter. One of the greatest pieces of writing the world has ever seen. And it is a chapter that we probably ought to, that probably the church needs it preached on every month. But we all get bored with things we hear over and over again, don't we? Even when they're true. So we got to watch it out. So I just got to reading it. It was such a blessing to me. Won't you follow along with me as I read? 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1. This is by the Apostle Paul. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long, and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth.
Amen.
Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth.
Amen.
Whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Where there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things.
Amen.
For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. And I would just like to point out the very last words, the greatest of these is charity. Let's pray. Lord, you have been so good to us, so merciful. We are so richly blessed. And so much of our life is spent just living and not acknowledging you, not knowing or realizing all the blessings that we have day by day. Forgive us. Forgive us of our self-centeredness, our selfishness, our preoccupation with only ourselves and ours. Lord, I pray that you'd touch this church with revival. I pray that you'd touch my heart with revival.
Amen.
I pray that you'd do again what you've done in the past and even better. And I pray, Father, that this day, the people who are in this place and all that hear my voice would be touched by your Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And Lord, you'd move upon us and cause us to do thy will. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. What a tremendous chapter. I don't really mean to preach the whole chapter. I have the subject I have is the greatest of these is charity. But just looking at this for a minute, just refreshing our mind, I think it's like the law. Every time I read the law, I know the law is good. What it tells me to do is right. How to accomplish it, I do not know. When I read Jesus' condensation of the law, love the Lord God most of all. Love your neighbor like you love yourself. That's too big for me too. Doesn't that bring conviction to you? I like heard Christians say, that's the way I live. Yeah, right. Yeah, right. Till somebody steals something from you or lets their leaves lay on your yard or cuts you off in traffic. This is absolutely beautiful. It is some of the greatest English prose. And back in the days when I taught high school, you could teach it. And I did. My kids memorized it. Look what it says here, though, and I just thinking about it. What if I could speak like an angel? Boy, I'd be proud. Wouldn't you?
Amen.
Wow, I could come in and I could speak and touch everybody here, and you'd say, man, I've been touched by God. Wouldn't that be great? He said, if I don't have charity, that's the godlike kind of love. A disinterested love. A love that loves not for what it can get back.
Amen.
Just loves. If I don't have that, I'm become like a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal, sort of tinny. And then he said, if I have the gift of prophecy, oh, how many of you here today would love the gift of prophecy? You so interested? Man, if I were teaching on Revelation, you'd say, yeah, yeah. What about the end times? Yeah, yeah. How about the gift of prophecy? Understand it. All the mysteries. You don't have any mysteries. You've got them all down. And have all knowledge. And you got so much faith. You could remove mountains. You could just walk out in your front yard and say, be clean and mowed. That kind of faith. Wouldn't that be great? You'd think it'd be great, wouldn't you? That would be cool. And have not charity. I am nothing. That much power, that much glory, I'm nothing. Now look at the third one. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor. Now that sounds like charity. Bestow all my goods. I have never given all my goods. I've always had a whole lot left behind. I've always just given a portion. But here's someone, he said, though I bestow all my goods to feed poor people. And how about this? Though I give my body to be burned. Ultimate sacrifice. And have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. It says charity will suffer long. How long do you suffer? Most of us don't suffer very long. I don't know about you. I got a quick fuse. Like some of those firecrackers I used to go, you know, the fuse would go down and then stick the match to it and boom, it would blow up in my hand. Charity suffereth long. It's kind. Charity envieth not. Doesn't brag on itself, vaunteth not itself. It's not puffed up. Does not behave itself unseemly. Doesn't seek its own. You got charity, there's nothing of you in it. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Now look at these statements here. Verse 7 and the first of verse 8. Beareth all things. Believeth all things. Hopeth all things. Endureth all things. Charity never faileth. That doesn't mean charity is always successful. It means it will continue. It doesn't run out. Because he gives you examples right after that. The prophets, well, they're going to cease. They're going to fail. Tongues, they ceased a long time ago. I know missionary after missionary after missionary in language school today. Some of them are very spiritual men and women, and they got to go learn that thing. These guys, when the tongues came, they spoke the language just like they spoke their own. It was a miracle. Tongues are ceased. Where there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. The Word of God, the knowledge, the doctrine of the apostles that I have here on this desk, there are no apostles. There aren't any chapters being added. All the books that are written and all that are published, they're not adding anything to this. They failed. That special knowledge they had to know how to write what we have, it failed. It's not there anymore. Now about a faith, hope, and charity. So what are we left with? We're left with faith, we're left with hope, and we're left with charity.
Amen.
And he said, but the greatest of these, and I'm not sure we believe this, is charity. Oh, we still brag on faith, don't we? We still brag on faith. We still honor faith. How about hope? Oh, yeah. What you hope for? There's a lot of hope in this room. I don't know what all the things are, but there's a lot of hope inside this room. But you know what he said? The greatest of these is charity. I ought to read this chapter every day because I forget so much of it.
All right, amen.
I ought to print it up on the table of my mind. Because I am so selfish, so self-centered, so self-interested. I've got a drive to learn. I've got a drive. I want to preach. I've got a drive. I want to understand prophecy and mysteries. I've got a drive in me, but sometimes I don't have much love. Much charity. Love's a wonderful thing. How many things do we love? Well, I have always loved football, but I'm going to be here tonight, Billy. You're not going to get me. I'll be here tonight. I love football. I love sports. I love hunting. I love fishing. I love riding a boat. There's so many things I've loved. I love learning. I get on a kick, and man, I want to know everything about chess, and then I want to know everything about checkers, and then I want to know everything about calendars, and then I want to know everything about history past, and then I want to read somebody's biography, and I love them. You got a lot of loves. You got a lot of loves. And what you love, you pay attention to. What you love, you put first. The greatest of these is charity. Look with me, if you will, over to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. Excuse me. I can't keep my throat clear, and it's not cedar fever because it's not even in the air. Must be mold. I'm not going to deal with all of these things, but he's talking about the gift of the Spirit. And it says the fruit, verse 22, Galatians 5, 22. Listen to this statement. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Now, there's three things. I'm going to divide this up three ways, just an example. I'm not preaching on it, but just while I'm here. For yourself, love, joy, and peace. That's what the Spirit brings to you. For others around you, long-suffering, gentleness, and goodness. That's the fruit of the Spirit in you. And for God, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such is no law. Let's look at the first part of that. The fruit of the Spirit is love. I just read some phrase this last week or two, and I'd heard it years before. But it just is really true. You can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. Man, isn't that the truth? You know, when I woke up to that, when Eddie was born, when I had my first child, I realized I couldn't be a bum anymore. I had responsibility. I couldn't just walk up and quit a job. I had to make enough money to buy whatever. We couldn't buy diapers. We had 10 dozen cloth diapers on in the house with Eddie and Billy. We'd have loved to have these paper diapers you throw away. They had some in those days, but they were very expensive and we were very poor. If the Spirit of God has come into you, what's it going to do? It's going to give you love. That's fruit. Now, I really don't think these are nine fruits, nine separate fruits. I think there's one fruit, just like an apple, and it's got different aspects how it touches everything that touches your life. I don't mind you teaching them one at a time. That's fine. I'd do the same thing. But what I'm saying is, it's the fruit of the Spirit of God, and the number one thing about the fruit of the Spirit of God, it's love. You know, the first thing that happened to me when I got saved, all of a sudden, I loved church. I never loved it in my life. Never. I went to it. I was taught to go to it. I memorized Scripture, but I didn't love it. If I got a chance to get out of it, I got it just like school. If I got a chance to get out of it, I'd get out of it. Otherwise, I had a good time. I always had a good time. Love? I started loving the church. I got saved out there in Roswell, New Mexico, and it was a great big church, and they had everything going, and they were on fire. They were in the midst of a Holy Spirit revival. I'm not talking just a revival meeting. I'm talking about where the Spirit of God moves on you for a year or two, and people just get saved right and left. So that's a beautiful thing. I don't know if you've ever seen it or not. If you ever have, you can't forget it. I learned to love the church. I learned to love everything they did. I became a phenomenon very quickly. The women have a meeting, I'm there if I could be. Young people had a meeting, I'm listening. Hey, the men have a meeting, boys teach Sunday school, right? Preach somewhere, right? Go visiting, I'm ready. I loved the things I hated. I gave up smoking, drinking, gambling and cussing the day I got saved. And let me tell you what, that's hard. And I began to hate that. I hated it in me and I hated it in others. What I hated before, I now love because the Holy Spirit of God had come into me and brought forth fruit. You know what I believe? I don't believe you're saved if you have never been changed. I'm not saying that you have overcome all of your weaknesses or your sins. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying if you have been saved, you're going to love God and God's people and God's Word. And you're going to hate your own sin. Or there's something wrong with your salvation. You're still born. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Let me tell you something else. I love my family more. And I took a responsibility. I had two little boys. You know what I started doing? Teaching them to memorize Scripture before they could read and write. I had two boys who could quote 100 verses of Scripture when I was in college. Probably don't remember it now. You know why? My love had changed. The Spirit of God had brought forth fruit. It'd come down inside of me, and now I wanted to protect them. I wanted to put it into their minds so no matter what happened to them, they could never forget it. Let me tell you something else. I learned to love people. I've always been friendly. I've always got along easy. I don't have a problem meeting new people. But I learned to love the church. The people I met became real brothers. Then these people I met, I'm just a GI with two strings on my arm making next to nothing. $196.30 a month. With a wife and two kids. And these people were my friends. Some of them pretty well to do. Some of them were just workers. But wow, they welcomed me in and they loved me. And I love some of them to this day. I love the church. What a change. There's some people right now, you claim to be Christian, but you don't love the church. Well, that's a fruit of the Spirit. That love, that's the love of the church. Love of these brethren. Love of these people. Love of the work of it. Don't you love it that we support missions? Don't you love it that we've got churches all over Mexico and that we've got churches in Poland and we've got even churches around here? Don't you love that? That's a fruit of the Spirit of God, is you're going to love the work of God. And if you don't love the work of God, you've got something plugged up. Need to open up the valves. Need to take a plunger and get the drain working. The fruit of the Spirit. Wow. That's what happens to you. That's the fruit that begins to grow the day you get saved. Now, I know some of you were saved when you were 5 or 10 or 15, and I know you didn't see a tremendous change in your life as an old sorry drunk would see. But bless your heart, there ought to be some changes in your mind. There ought to be an attitude in your heart. There ought to be a love. There ought to be a love and a hate. You ought to hate the lust that you lived on. You ought to hate the lying and the stealing you lived in. You ought to hate the selfishness that you could see about yourself all the time. And you ought to love God, and you ought to love Jesus, and you ought to love the brethren, you ought to love the church. Amen. That's the fruit of the Spirit of God.
Amen.
And the Bible says love never faileth.
Amen.
Turn to another verse with me. Philippians chapter 1, verse 9. Philippians chapter 1, verse 9. Paul is telling them they can pray for him. The church of Philippi can pray for him. He's going to pray for them. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere without offense till the day of Christ. Paul is saying, I pray that your love may abound yet more and more. I wish you'd pray that for me. I wish you'd pray that for me. I wish you'd get out on your knees every morning before you go to work and say, Lord, let Brother Lindell's love abound more and more in all knowledge. And pray for all the pastors. How about praying it for the whole church? Could we use more love? Goodness gracious, could we use more love? Could we be more effective if we had love? Love's a catching thing. It's like a disease. It spreads. You shake hands with somebody and some love passes through. You look at somebody in the face and talk to them and a little bit of love passes there. And then, why, there's people in this room right here I love as my own family. Praise God for love. I want more. I want more. You know how I feel when I see these things? I feel like I'm missing out.
Amen.
I feel like there's so much more.
Amen.
I feel like I ought to be more loving. That I ought to love God more and love His Word more and love His people more and love lost souls more.
Amen.
And not only that, He said, in all knowledge and judgment. Have you seen misguided love? Oh, that's a dangerous thing. Misguided love. Misunderstood love. Think you're loving your kids when what you're doing is hating them?
All right.
Bible said if you don't spank your kids when they're messed up and do some correcting on them, you hate them. Amen. And if you love them, you'll tell them the truth. If you love them, you'll correct them.
Amen.
Some people think a hard preacher does not love. That's not true. Those that preach the gospel and are bold in declaring it and reach out have more love than people who do not do it.
Amen.
Just I pray that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. Look if you will at 1 John 4. Excuse me, 1 John 3, verse 1. 1 John 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God.
Amen.
That's all I need to read. What manner of love? How much did God love you?
Amen.
What did God do for you? What is in this gospel for you? Wow. What manner of love? I'm not just a servant. I'm not a serf or a peon or a blob of flesh. Sons of God. I'm a son of God. I have been loved by God so much He took me out of the trash pile, cleaned me up, put me into His house and made me His son. Are you a son of God? Live like it.
Amen.
Are you a son of God? Acknowledge it.
Amen.
Behold, what manner of love. How can you even fathom that much love? You talk about great. God has taken you. I don't know what you think of yourself. Most of us think of ourselves too well. I don't know what you exactly think of yourself, but do you think the president would pick you as one of his sons? How about even the mayor? The councilman? Hey, listen to me. Sonship? You know what it is to be a son? I had a wonderful father. He was a very good man. And I knew I was loved. And I knew I could walk in that house at any time of the day or night and I'd be welcomed. I knew no matter what I did and messed up, I would be welcomed. I knew they were going to be for me no matter what happened. They were going to be for me because I was His son. Now I'm a son of God. You're sons of God. Are you born again? Is the Spirit of God in you? Then bless your heart, you're a son of God. You need to think like it. You need to live like it.
Amen.
People ought to recognize there's something different in you.
That's right.
When you used to tell the dirty jokes and you used to go out and drink the beer and you used to go to the partying and you used to do all those things and you used to cuss all the time, nobody accused you of being a Christian. Now that you go to church and you try to invite somebody to come to church with you every once in a while and you try to give a testimony somewhere, some people still won't believe you're a Christian. You're a son of God. Praise God. I'm a son of God. I ought to be walking around like this all every day. You know, I'm a son of God. Take a look at me, buddy. You ain't seen the last of me. I'm a son of God. I'm going to be riding in the clouds of heaven. I'm going to be walking with Jesus. I'll be riding on a white horse coming back to kick your tail. I'm a son of God. Wow. That's tremendous to me. Just turn the page over. Chapter 4, 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. You know what? I've been pastoring lots of years. Some of the biggest fights I ever have seen have been in the church. Many times over nothing. Misunderstanding. Or just a bad spirit. Brother, we ought to love one another.
Amen.
We ought to love one another. How do you treat people that you love? Well, you know what you do? You forgive them. I have had to forgive my wife every day for 57 years. That's how come the marriage has worked. And she's had to forgive me, too. If we took our little differences, and believe me, there are differences. Isn't that the way it is at your house? There are differences. And if you don't love one another, you can't put up with those differences. But if you have enough love to say, no big deal, that's just Verlene. She'll get over it. Get a cup of coffee, she'll settle down. It's true. Her blood does not flow without coffee in the morning. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Look at the end of the next verse, the end of verse 8. God is love. Now look at verse 10. Herein is love. Not that we love God, that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Here's love. I can't brag too much about my love for God. But I can brag about God's love for me.
Amen.
You may not have much to recommend you to the neighborhood or to your family or to your friends, proving how much you love God. But oh, my friend, God's proved His love to you. First Peter chapter 1, verse 20. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Look at that verse. Purified your souls, obeying the truth through the Spirit, unto real. Unfeigned is not put on. If you feign something, you're putting on something. It's not real. It's not what you have. But unfeigned means real. So what he's talking about here, unto a love of the brethren that is not put on. You purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, unto unfeigned love of the brethren. Brethren, in the church of living God, among believers who are born again, people that have the Word of God in their hands, and they have a fellowship of believers, there ought to be love.
Amen.
That almost means we ought to stick together no matter what.
Amen.
But look at the rest of that. See that you love one another with a pure heart, fervently. You know what fervent love is, don't you? You get in love with a little girl, and whether you got a car or a bicycle or a bus, you'll make your way to that house.
Yeah.
Then when you get home, you'll get on the phone and you'll talk to them. Verlene's mother used to get so mad at me. She'd ask Verlene, what do y'all still have to talk about? You're with him all day. We ought to love one another fervently. That ought to be burning. That's what fervency is. It ought to be burning. It ought to be rising up in you. There ought to be embers down there under you. You ought to be like that big fire in your fireplace, or you got out in your yard somewhere and you got your bonfire going. It ought to be burning. This love one another fervently. You don't spend a lot of time criticizing people you love. Then why are you criticizing people around you?
Amen. All right. Amen.
You ought to love them.
Yeah, that's right.
Love means to put up with.
Amen.
You put up with differences. You know what, God, it's amazing to me, but God made every single one of you different. If we had identical twins in this room, they'd be different. I've taught twins. I might not could recognize them the first month or two, but after a while, they're different. You got the love of God in you? Man, that ought to make you a good brother. God, the Holy Spirit is bearing His fruit of love in you. Oh, that ought to make you a sweet sister. It ought to tame your mouth. Like when you got to be a Christian, you quit your cussing and your dirty jokes. Well, hey, how about now taming your mouth of your criticism and your ugliness and your selfishness and your spitefulness? Amen?
Amen.
Love one another with a pure heart, fervently. One of the greatest verses in the Bible is John 3:16. It says, God so loved the world that He gave. God loved, He gave. God so loved. How much did He love? That He gave His Son. His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. If you're hearing without Jesus Christ, you're not saved today and you know it. I want to invite you into a world of love that God will shower down upon you when you repent of your sins and stop standing against Him. And you ask Him to forgive you and to save your soul, God will fill you with love. And God will grow that love. And you might even learn to love me. I know that's a stretch. But you might even learn to love me. But you're going to love. Because love is of God. God is love. And you know, we forget it. We ignore it. We better not. I think it's one of the most important things that we can possibly think about. Maybe you ought to put this on your refrigerator. Maybe you ought to put it on the rearview mirror of your car. But without love, you're nothing. Without love, you're not a preacher. Without love, you're not a soul winner. Without love, you're not a great scholar. Without love, you're no great teacher. With love, you can do the will of God. And you can have the love of God. You might think I'm not telling you the truth, but I am. I was not seeking God, but when I found God, I was so glad He found me. I was so glad my sins, all of my sins, were washed away. And a burden was lifted from my back.
Amen.
A direction was changed. I no longer was going to go to hell if I died. I was going to heaven to be with Jesus. And
right.
I don't care. Some people say, well, heaven's going to be on earth and some way out the north country. I don't know and I don't care.
Amen. Yep.
Wherever Jesus is, that's where I want to go.
Amen.
I want a body like His. I want a mind like His. And I want to live where He lives. And that's the promise of the gospel. Remember what I told you, you can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. And God so loved that He gave. He gave His only begotten Son. Wow. For you as a lost person, that ought to be a great invitation. If God will do that for me, I'll go to God. For me as an old saved person, I've been saved lots of years, over 50 years. It's a rejoicing.
Yeah. Amen.
I can look at that every day and say, I don't understand it, God, but I thank You.
Thank You, Lord.
Oh, Lord, what a blessing You've been to me.
Yeah.
The greatest of these is love. All your accomplishments in the Christian church, all your works for God, the greatest is love. Why don't we love somebody? Why don't we practice love? Why don't we open up our hearts and just let God fill us? God is love, And the more of God you allow in yourself, the more love you're going to have. And the more love you get from God, the more you can show to your wife or to your husband. The more love you get from God, the more you live in God's love, the more you can show it to a lost world. You're not just raising people to come to your church. You're just not interested in more names on the membership. You have an interest in their soul. You really don't want to see them make a mistake and go to hell. We need more love. I think the church needs more love. I know I need more love. Let's pray. Father, you've been so good to us. And these promises are so rich and great that they stagger the mind. They do mine. Forgive me. Forgive me for not giving your love its rightful place. Forgive this church that we don't love one another fervently. Help us to do it. Oh God, have your way in each life that's here. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand.